So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can find all the latest with investigations or anything else we've got going on. And I tell you, it never seems to stop here. It really doesn't. We have always got something going on. And lo and behold, I tell you, Dale LaTruce should be joining us in just a minute, by the way. But it's really funny because last night, we were discussing, the whole situation with this new Walmart that Madonna Flood is going to put over on Outer Loop, right across the street from Jefferson Mall here in Louisville. And I tell you, it was funny because one of the things that we discussed was the fact that we are not doing anything for the west of Louisville who needs the jobs and could use the stability of having a retailer in the West End. And, we specifically mentioned one of the properties that they should be looking at is the old Philip Morris property at 18th and Broadway. And it's funny because there's a lot more to that story today, and we'll get into that in just a minute. Dale LaTruce, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I tell you, we lead the way in everything in Louisville. And anybody and everybody in Louisville that knows anything about the political structure here, anything about news and issues, always follows us. And it never ceases to amaze me of that. And here's another good example of that starting the night off. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we were talking about the Walmart situation last night, building the new one and everything else, that they should be talking about building one at 18th and Broadway where the old Philip Morris location is. And we're getting sick and tired of the West End being left behind and how Madonna Flood and the city of Louisville and even Walmart itself are lying about the reason they originally closed their store in the first place. Well, lo and behold, today, Philip Bailey of WFPL, and I've got a lot of respect for Philip, so I'm not trying to, before we go any further, I want to make sure everybody understands, I'm not trying to accuse WFPL of anything, but it is kind of interesting that the day after we start screaming about this on air, that they decided to put a story up today that now all of a sudden a place called the Mardrian Group, or TMG, have been trying for nearly a decade to bring a major retailer to the 18th and Broadway property that we talked about last night, and that now they think they have a serious attempt at getting a Walmart at that location. Coincidental?
I don't know that much about the location. I'm not going to lie. I don't go down there. I don't even play into the Democrats and neocons' desire to get us down to that overhyped tourist trap called 4th Street Live, but I sure don't go down when the numbers get that high. That's when I know my life is being taken into my own hands.
Well, you're right, because it is a serious problem when you're going into the West End as a white person. And, for anybody who wants to claim that that's racist, sorry about your luck. That's the reality.
Oh, it's just the truth. I mean, I'm 40 years old, and I'm sure it's 10 times worse now, but they can say what they want about my parents. When I was a kid, they warned me, when you go downtown, Dale, the street numbers get higher, get out of there.
Well, it's the truth. And what makes this fascinating, why, and why I'm sticking with this story so much is this. Because the Walmart we talked about last night, the reason that they closed the one on Outer Loop across from Jefferson Mall about 5 years ago was because of just that situation, that they had high crime. They had people of color coming in there. There were people that were literally getting their lives threatened in a parking lot. I mean, I got to the point, because that was a store that I frequented, but I spent a lot of time out in Oklahoma because I still have family and friends there. And I spent a lot of time out there. So it was, there was often I would go into that store. And the last year and a half, 2 years they were open, I would not go to that Walmart store. I refused to. And primarily because I'd gotten out of my car a couple of times, was followed into the store, was accosted once. You know, and then you go into the store, the place is like a daggone war zone. Stuff is thrown everywhere. People are stealing everything left and right. The employees didn't care. Walmart was basically losing their butt financially from the amount of theft. And people were scared to go in there because of the problems with the crime and the threat of serious injury. So that's why that Walmart closed.
Well, you know, where they live up, we need them, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the reason it became such an issue for me was that here a couple of weeks ago, the Metro Council decided that they were going to ban liquor sales at liquor stores after midnight. Because that was a problem with crime in the West End. That
somehow what causes crime is the hours of a store being open.
Exactly. So you got 2 hours a day that it is creating all the crime in the West End. And the reason that retailers are, that we're being told retailers won't come to the West End by our Metro Council members, like Sherry Bryant Hamilton, Mary Woolridge, Barbara Shanklin, Attica Scott, remember that name, it's important in a minute, are because of the high crime. So we've got to get rid of this. The African-American contingent of the Metro Council says we must stop liquor sales from between the hours of midnight and 2 a.m. because that's why we can't get ahead. So imagine my surprise when we announced we're going to reopen a new Walmart Supercenter at this location that was shut down for the same exact reason that we refused to go to the West End. This is an apples and apples comparison. Well, lo and behold, today, because we break this story last night, WFPL comes out and then starts pushing this proposal that TMG has been trying for a decade to put a Walmart at this location that we've named more than once in the past, but primarily last night. But here's the stunner. Here's the stunner. As I continue telling everybody, and as I even pointed out again last night, the problem with getting business in the West End is because the West End leadership will not do their job to promote it. And here's why I say that. The reason that you have a Walmart going to the new Outer Loop, or I'm sorry, to the old Outer Loop location that they closed because of all of the problems that we have in the West End as well, the reason they're going there instead of 18th and Broadway initially, and the reason that they're going there instead of to the West End is because of statements like this from Councilman Attica Scott. Councilman Attica Scott went on record in Philip Bailey's story today that said she's been told by city officials and developers the project at 18th and Broadway will more likely be a Walmart. Now, there's nothing definitive here. They've been talking about trying to get a Walmart there for 10 years. The Walmart hasn't been, so this is nothing more than a rehash of an old thing. But here's the kicker. She says that while she wants to bring economic development to the West End, that she really hopes the city thinks again before making an agreement with Walmart. She says that she will speak vehemently against Walmart unless there are serious, real, solid concessions from Walmart, one being that employees coming into Walmart at that location will be local workers from within a 2 to 3 mile radius of that store, that Walmart at that location will pay a living wage, define that one, folks, and that Walmart will allow workers to form a union. Without those three concessions, she's going to refuse to allow a major retailer to put a business at 18th and Broadway while at the same time siding with Sherry Bryant Hamilton and everybody else screaming that they have to go outside the district to go to places like Walmart because nobody will come there. What do you think about that, Dale?
Well, let me say this about the living wage thing. That is such a con job when people say living wage. It's just like them trying to force the minimum wage up. We know that if and when, I hope it's not when, but if and when the Congress lays down and bends over for Obama and increases the minimum wage to whatever he wants, we know what happens then. More people get laid off. More prices will go up. And then you'll have all your unions. The unions love to see the minimum wage go up because then they can kind of harass people and be terroristic about trying to get their wages to go up. But who worked for a quote-unquote minimum wage? These McDonald's workers that threaten to go on strike back in the summer. I wish they had a. Have you ever been to a McDonald's that was clean and you got good service at? No. And nobody is supporting a family on those wages. So it's all a myth when they talk about this working wage.
Well, what angers me the most about this is, for years now, we have been telling the world the truth that the African-American elected leadership does not care any more about the West End than any other Democratic leadership has ever done, that the ones who are voted onto the council are getting theirs, they're getting paid their money. If you're an African-American person and you're elected to office in Louisville on a metro council or anything else, or you're connected to somebody in that regard, you're getting paid. But the people that you're supposed to represent are still being left behind. And when I have a council person out there telling us, you know, that we're tired of going outside of our area to do any retail business because nobody will build downtown, and then you're telling us that the only way you'll let them build downtown is if they agree to let you tell them who to hire, where to hire from, how much to pay them, and they better have a union, no wonder you're not getting people down there. It is the most hypocritical, two-sided face of evil that I've seen. For those of you who really don't understand the seriousness of this, I mean, I've got something I want you to listen to, because this is not the first time we've done this. This isn't Ed Springsteen going on a rampage. Here's a little audio clip for you guys from 2010, and this is when I really started going after this situation.
It was in the old city of Louisville. We were a city that was, we were getting poorer. We were getting more minority. We were getting poorer, blacker, and older. And so as I was saying earlier, every time we lost merger in our community, the city always voted for it. The county was the one that voted against it. And at that time, when it would lose, it was people living in the suburbs who didn't want the problems of the city.
That was former Mayor Jerry Abramson telling us the whole problem
with the
West.
Sounds like you're saying he doesn't like people who are poor, black, or old to me, Ed.
Thank you. He was blaming poor old black people for the downfall of the West End and downtown Louisville.
Kind of sad that those are the ones he depended on to stay in office for decades.
Exactly. And that's the same mindset of the Democratic leadership Louisville has always been. They want to leave the West End high and dry. They want those people in the West End to be dependent on government. They want the West End to fend for themselves. They want somewhere that they can tell everybody, you know, that to try to justify new tax increases and everything else that they don't use in that area. And the African-American contingent, the black council members, to me, just disgusted me beyond belief. If anyone can justify
that. When they talk about
it
being a racial issue, Ed, they try to make it, you know, everyone was talking about something's racist. First of all, nobody knows the English language. They know there's a lot of difference between prejudiced, bigoted, discriminating, and racist. There are four different terms that most people with their little smartphones today couldn't differentiate between. But when they call it racist, I can show people examples of folks I work with. I work with black folks who tell me that they won't go near the West End because they don't want to be killed.
You know, and I understand that completely, and they're absolutely right. My problem is, though, now we have clear
definitive
proof.
Well, they're Uncle Tom, I guess, so they don't go back into the West End. I mean, how many athletes stay in the West End when they get out of the West End? They get out of there as fast as they can.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the problem for me, though, is, you know, you can't rise above and you can't fix anything if you're not willing to, number one, admit that you have a problem. Number two, quit the rose-colored glasses and trying this Band-Aid fixes on mortal wounds like stopping alcohol sales for 2 hours a day. You know, and number three, follow through on what you promise. This statement by Councilwoman Attica Scott isn't the first time that she says something stupid. She had a statement today on WLKY, and I apologize. I don't have this audio loaded up yet. So I apologize, but she's being interviewed for WLKY's story today, and she goes on record saying that it's government's job to help people. Well, if it's government's job to help people, for one thing, I disagree with that concept, but if you are to buy into that concept, then how can Attica Scott, Sherry Bryant Hamilton, Mary Woolridge, insert name here, sit here and tell us they're helping anybody when you're sitting there bitching, moaning, groaning, and complaining because you can't get retail so you can shop at home, and you're going to stop something like a Walmart unless they give in to your demands that's going to allow you to do it. Walmart's going to tell you, hell no, so they're going back to Outer Loop. You know, this is a problem for me. I've got a major issue with that, and I can't stress that enough. And, you know, people can call me a racist all they want to. I don't really care. But this is the situation. It's what we're dealing with. And when I saw that story today, I was thoroughly disgusted. I really was. This is exactly why murder needs to be recalled. The audio clip. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you. I just think murder. I was getting ready to mention that a minute ago. I wish we could recall murder. I know we got good friends of the show who have been promoting that for a while, and I wish they would recall murder. I bet they'd be shocked how many people would want to recall murder if given a chance.
Well, I know that there's been one outfit that's afoot that's been talking about that and taking steps to try to make that happen. And, you know, we will certainly lend our support to that. You know, it's just that this is a situation. It's a pattern of behavior. It's a way of life. The Democrat liberals in this town will lie, cheat, and steal elections from the West End voters who don't know any different or any better while they're being lied to and stolen from and cheated on by the people that they're electing to office. I mean, that is ridiculous. So if I've got to be called a racist once again, it won't be the first time I've ever been called a racist for tackling West End issues. But I will wear that mantle proudly because I'm trying to do something that their own leadership will not do. Kevin Cosby's getting paid. He don't care. If you want to talk about community leaders, Attica Scott, Mary Waldron, Sherry Bryan Hamilton, they don't care. Judy Greene didn't care. Barbara Shanklin don't care. They're getting paid. They're making more money as Metro Council members than they ever would in the private sector in their neighborhoods, and they know that.
Yep.
So they don't care because they're getting theirs. They get to go out and act like the queens and the kings in their neighborhood, act like they're somebody, while the people that are on the street in their neighborhoods are starving and killing each other, trying to find the next slice of food or the next dollar to buy a daggone beer at a liquor store they can't buy it at anymore to calm down. So, you know, what the hell. we're going to take our first break of the night. When we get back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. I know you want to get into some national stuff, Dale. That's what you love to do. And I want to talk about this governor's race in Virginia and some of the stories coming out of there, the irregularities, because it all falls in line with the same thing. Democratic, liberal, garbage, lies, cheat, and stealing elections are destroying this country. So stick around, folks. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Ed Spreng Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, we are back. Yes, we are. If you guys want to call in, don't forget the numbers are 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. Or for you guys that are in the listening queue right now, don't forget to press that little number 1 on your dial pad, and we will get you on the air as soon as possible. You know, Dale,
yep.
For one thing, I love the new break music. I got to tell you guys that it's nice and relaxing.
I don't know what that was. Was that Madonna or what was that?
Yeah, no, original music, man. I like the new break music. It kind of brings you back because I tell you, sometimes I get so angry, and I hate that because you shouldn't have to get angry. But sometimes you get so angry when you see the stuff that's going on,
yep.
like this liberal socialist agenda that people like Atticus Scott. Are trying to do here in Louisville, you know, and forget Obama. We know what his agenda is, but it's all the way down to the local level, and that's angry. It makes me angry. And when we talk about agendas, we've got to go into one of the biggest races recently, the governor's race in Virginia. Democrat Terry McAuliffe, he beat Republican Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli by 47-46% margin, very, very close margin. But what's fascinating is that immediately we find out that we have all these voting irregularities, which are nothing new when it comes to these Democratic precincts. We had the same thing happen in Hamilton County up in Ohio and Cincinnati for Barack Obama. We had it happen all over the country in national elections, and we're having it happen all the time in local elections too. But this local election just happened to be a national race because people were bored. There wasn't anything else going on with voting. Apparently, in at least 13 districts, we had Black Panthers showing up, intimidating voters, just like they did in Philadelphia, and Eric Holder refused to do anything about it. We have questions in all kinds of places, including Loudoun and Fairfax counties, because election officials were withholding voter data so that they could decide on what they wanted to count and what they didn't in advance. We have all kinds of information about people voting 2, 3, and 4 times. Dale, why is it that we can't get control of this?
Well, it depends on who's running the elections. We saw a couple of years ago, it was very clear, you want to talk about socialists, it was very clear that socialists from on high had a plot to take over a lot of Secretary of State's offices across the country. You know, lucky for them, they didn't have to try too hard in Kentucky. They just had to have Trey Grayson get his ass kicked, they run off to Harvard to raise money for Democrats, and lo and behold, here comes Allison Lundgren Grimes. She gets to give them what they want, another Democrat in the Secretary of State's office. So as long as they let them do this stuff, she ran for Secretary of State, and now she wants to be a U.S. Senator, and she doesn't believe that people should prove who they are before they vote. So, you know, this
well,
is the kind of people that run this corrupt socialist system.
Well, she's not even doing her job as Secretary of State. The last word I had, and I haven't checked to see if it's being corrected yet, is she hasn't even filled out the paperwork for her own business with the Secretary of State that she's required to do as a business owner, much less being the one who controls the whole office. So there's a lot of stories with that. But
yep.
for me personally, I'm trying to figure out how in the hell these voters continue. I mean, we've got multiple votes cast by people that were dead or people that haven't lived in a district in years. They've got to vote 2, 3, and 4 times. How dead people vote in this country, I don't know. And how those votes are continuing to be counted are totally mind-boggling to me. But, you know, part of the reality is that, in all honesty, I think we need to get back to paper ballots. The government doesn't want paper ballots because when you have a paper trail, you have a problem doing cover-ups.
Yep.
And they like to use the excuse that it's too expensive to do. But is it worth spending the money, Dale?
Oh, it's definitely worth spending the money. Again, we see what happens. Go back in history about it. When you look at counting votes, I believe it wasn't Joseph Stalin said it didn't matter how many votes he got as long as he controlled who counted the votes, and that's what they want to do. I mean, I think there need to be paper ballots everywhere. I think, I guess many places they think they can't afford it, but then if they can't afford it, why is it we have a paper ballot here in Jefferson County, which is like the biggest county in the state, but the other counties don't have paper ballots? Why is that?
Well, for one thing, we know the Diebold machines and the machines that they use here can be manipulated. I'm actually
really?
A videotape proof of it.
I'm talking about paper ballot as opposed to like up in Boone and Kenton County where
right.
they have a touch screen, which makes me nervous.
Even worse. Well, the paper ballots here are manipulated because those things get fed into a machine that does an automatic count, and those
sure.
machines are manipulated. So
sure.
unless you've got thousands of dollars, you know, to order it and immediate, recount of all paper ballots. It doesn't happen, and nobody's got that kind of money. So, you know, it's fascinating to me that we can't, as a country or as a government, get control of one of the most basic foundations of our freedom, and that is elections and voting. You know, we have friends that work in polling locations. As a matter of fact, there's one chiming in right now. Let's see if they want to say something about that, because, you know, I've got people that work in polling locations, and it's hard to find workers that want to work at polling locations anymore because it's become such a joke. Paul, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, guys. Dale, I want to let you know, as an election officer from
there you go.
Over the course of many years, that there currently are electronic voting machines in use in every Jefferson County, Kentucky precinct. Now, it is primarily used for voters with some type of disability, usually a visual, but but they typically that's a separate machine. It's we run our own separate tapes on them. Not very many votes get cast on them, but yet they equipped all 555 precincts with the machine. So we have that, and just like every other piece of computer software used in the voting process in Jefferson County, none of that is available for independent inspection and evaluation.
Nope.
None of it.
Well,
and so we simply are told we have to take the word of all the people involved in the process that everything is A-OK.
And, Paul, if that's not bad enough, Paul, what about the fact we've heard Ken Mormon and Michael Lewis and other people talk with us about the fact that they don't even keep track in these Secretary of State's offices for who's registered with third parties? We see in Ohio they just finally got where you can even show up on a ballot with another party name in front of your name, and that's something here in the county. Let's look here at Jefferson County, where we do this show and this network. What is the biggest problem we have with the County Board of Elections? It's run strictly by a Democrat and a Republican.
Well, it's entrenched powers to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, that is problematic, because in Kentucky, people who are not affiliated with either of those two parties are now, that number is approaching 10%. And you would think that 10% of Kentucky voters would have a voice in their local election board. However, by statute, they do not. They do not. It's all by design.
See,
just to fall back on that, I don't know the name offhand of the Democrat who's on the County Board of Elections, but I can tell you the Republican who's in charge, she was one of the ones that tried to keep all those Liberty people out. So she's one of the biggest culprits in keeping Liberty people out of the Republican Party. And these are the folks who run our elections at the county level.
Well, see, and here's something else I'd really like to see, because, you know, we know that we've got a problem with the integrity of the election process. And even those people that fill out those paper ballots, Paul, you know them right. They take those paper ballots, they fill it into a machine, and that machine automatically counts based on whatever they checked. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we know that those machines are just as manipulated as any other touchscreen machine or anything else. We have all kinds of video. Go to Black Box. I think it's Black Box America. We have all kinds of video on YouTube. We have testimony from people at Diebo themselves that said that these things could be easily manipulated, and they have been manipulated intentionally so to favor one candidate over another. So we know we've got all of this illegal stuff going on. Our government is totally aware of this. But the powers that be refuse to do anything about it because it benefits the two-party system. Why is it that it is so hard? Why is it that we can't go on a constitutional challenge, if you will? If we have to change the Constitution, let's do it. But why is it that, you know, for me personally, I would like to see the independents, the Green Party, those people that are outside of the two-party system, they're the ones responsible to certify election results. Because I tell you what you would have. The independents, the Green Party, the Libertarians, all of those that are not tied to the two-party system would probably voluntarily, now I might be speaking out my butt here, folks, and I admit that freely, but they would probably voluntarily agree to man the polls and do automatic physical recounts of all paper votes that they get in their precincts to ensure the integrity of the election. They're not going to be allowed to be involved in the election, in the primary anyway. But
well, it's not
wouldn't that solve part of that problem?
Yeah, it's not anything constitutional that needs to be changed there. There's nothing in the Constitution that says they should have this plutocracy that they're running. But again, you look at the Jefferson County Board of Directors who run your elections. How many millions of people are in Jefferson County? It's run by your Republican county clerk, your Democrat sheriff, and two Democrat representatives, one who's a Republican. So that's who your board of directors is run by. And I agree with you, those other parties should have a say in the matter. But just like when you get to the elections officers, I'm sure Paul can tell you this too, when it comes to who gets to work the polls, who gets those special jobs, who gets to be the sheriff's officers, you really got to be somebody that the party elite like to get to do those positions.
Paul, let me ask you this.
Well, those job assignments are alternated depending on the precinct number, okay? I think it's in the even precincts. They have party number one in the sheriff's job, and then in odd precincts they have party number two.
No, they're not. They have one of each in all of them.
No, Dale. I'm talking about the specific – there are four job titles at a poll. All right.
I'm talking about when you go around to each precinct. I've done that job before, Paul. It's one Democrat.
That's a different job. That's a different job. I'm talking about the election officers that sit in each of the 555 polls.
Right. Right.
Okay. So, no, that's why I'm saying the assignment. Now, the ones you're talking about are the ones that are accompanied by Jefferson County Sheriff's deputies.
Yeah.
And there's one Democrat and one Republican.
You got no independent.
Get escorted.
Party.
Yeah, but see, that's a different job. That's a different job. So we're talking about two
different
sites.
So let me ask you guys this.
Different sites. My point is they're ultimately in charge. I mean, when I held that position for one primary election about 10 or 12 years ago, they told us all this power that we held. We could do this, we could do that. But again, there was nobody other than a Democrat or Republican. And it's finally, 2 years ago, they're finally letting independents and third-party people even work the polls.
Well, that's because
they don't have enough people in the party willing
to do that anymore.
Well,
right?
that independent and third-party people working the polls, that is still somewhat dependent upon the two parties, both the Democrats and Republicans. And the two parties have always had virtually exclusive control over who works the different jobs at the polling places, okay? They have.
So, Paul, let me ask you this.
In fact, I actually substituted for one of the partisan jobs 1 year before that local change took place, Dale. And it's only because I knew somebody. That's all.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, I did the same thing. I held that position one time because the guy who had held it for like two decades happened to be on a primary ballot that year. And that was when I was in the inside party elite before they decided they didn't want me anywhere near their party. But they can't get rid of me because that's against the law.
So once the polling is closed, what is the process from that point forward to get the results out, Paul?
Well, it's a pretty straightforward process. There's a specific set of procedures used to close the polling machine, all right? And the Jefferson County Board of Elections had done a really good job at providing not only training in advance, but also the necessary guides that each election officer is issued and that they can refer to throughout the entire day, including closing the polls. So that process is very straightforward.
Who certifies the results of each polling location?
That's not done at the polls. That is not done. That information is sent downtown to the Jefferson County Board of Elections.
That goes to four people. I mentioned earlier, two Democrats and two Republicans.
Exactly.
Correct.
So here's what I'm getting at. That's what I was hoping you guys were going to go to, because here's what I'm getting at. You've got two Democrats and you've got two Republicans, and I keep coming back to the Florida hanging Ted garbage between the Bush-Gore election. But, you know, when you look at this in play, not everybody's going to agree. The Republicans are going to side Republican. They're not going to give one inch to the Democrats and vice versa. So what you have here basically is a tie, correct? Two on two. That's where the independents come into play. There should automatically be an independent that helps certify these elections, someone who's not swayed by either party. Because that way you're going to get more accountability. But for me, when I continue seeing this type of situation where we've got dead people being allowed to vote and these results are certified, you've got people that are voting three, four, and five times and these results are certified. We've got all of these machines that everybody is using now that are certified to be accurate, even though we know they're not, based on standard public knowledge and testing by legitimate sources, then we've got a major problem in the voting process itself. So when you get to the voter ID laws and everything else, you know, really, truthfully, for me, I'm 100% agree with the voter ID laws. But more importantly, we need integrity from the process from the time somebody walks in to vote to the time that thing gets certified through that machine and through the people who actually sign off on it. The people who sign off on that should be held legally accountable for certifying results. Because
well, here's my question, Ed, for either you or Paul, because you guys have I'm just going to do a quick survey here. Both of you gentlemen have lived in Jefferson County most of your lives, correct?
Correct.
Sure. Yep.
So tell me, how many independents or anything that didn't have a D, any critter that didn't have a D or an R in front of its name, has ever won an elected race in Jefferson County?
Well, they've never had
they've
never had a fair opportunity.
So that's my point. What if they did? Let me go off into conspiracy land, do like tomorrow night show here for a moment. What if one of them finally did have an opportunity? What if a Jesse Ventura came up through the ranks via Jefferson County, Kentucky, but he didn't have the media on his side, so everybody acted like nobody knew who he was? And what if he actually could win the race? What would stop the two Democrats and Republicans from keeping him from winning the race once it got to the board of directors?
The same thing as always. The same thing that happens.
Nobody that watched them. Nothing would stop them.
Exactly, exactly. And I'll tell you a good example. In 2006, and I hate to harp on my past races, but in 2006 when I ran for mayor, okay, WLKY is who I was watching at the time for election results. They're the most accurate at that time. But WLKY and John Bull were giving out the election results with about 13% of the precincts reporting. I had 13% of the vote. I had thousands, over 13,000 voters that they put out there on the TV, in public and everything. They had their reporter down at the Democratic headquarters where they were waiting for the election results, where Jerry Abramson was at. And the reporter had commented that he had talked to all of these people, and they were shocked at how good the independent Ed Springsteen was doing with 13% of the vote, that they had never expected anything like that. Once that got reported, the results for the mayor's race in 2006 disappeared for about 15 minutes, which never happens, right? Because they constantly go over the results and rehash them constantly over and over. So about once every 2 to 3 minutes, you're getting the updated results. They quit talking about my race, the mayor's race in 2006. They eliminated me completely from the discussion after those reports went out live. And lo and behold, about 15 to 20 minutes later, they got back to the mayor's results. They didn't explain anything, but all of a sudden I went from 13% to 1% and less than 3,000 votes. All right? To me, that was clear-cut obvious that they were doing something. And for everybody I talked to about that from that point on, including some of the media people, they think there were shenanigans there. The problem was that as that outsider candidate, of course I knew I wasn't going to win. But when you go from 13% to 1% and you lose 90% of the votes that you've been credited for and you disappear for 20 minutes, it's obviously a red flag. But you don't have thousands of dollars to go out there and spend on a mandatory paper recount. You can't do that. They're not going to recount unless there's a specific legal reason that they deem to be acceptable. I could have demanded a recount, and I'm not even sure that if I had the $20,000 it would have cost a recount that they would have agreed to recount the paper ballots. They make those decisions, and that's where you lose the integrity in the process because
well,
they make
know,
all
if
the decisions.
Well, you give them the money, Ed, they probably would have salivated like the two major parties do for Federal Reserve notes. How do you know if you'd given them a handful of Federal Reserve notes, they would have come back with the same results?
Well, see, there you go, because I would not be allowed to install independents at every one of these daggone places to recount these paper ballots. They wouldn't allow that. I would have to depend on the two Democrats and two Republicans to be accountable for this, and that's the whole thing. They're not accountable. So it's really interesting when you get into those dynamics, but it's alarming because let's see what's going on today. We've got people like, you know, Terry McAuliffe. We've got people like Barack Obama. We've got Black Panthers allowed to freely roam on at election polling places and intimidate, harass, and threaten people into voting the way they want to or not voting at all. We've got a Democratic government who refuses to make voter ID part of the process, but you've got to have ID to get a driver's license. There are so many different things here that we, as an American people, we continue allowing ourselves to be divided on. The Democrat liberals, of course, are saying, oh, no, we don't need all of this because this is how they do it. You take $50,000 to $60,000 down to the West End of the African-American voters in the West End. You pay off people to go out and buy up a few pastors to go around and tout the good graces of any Democrat you want there. So these people are getting a little bit of cash in their hand or selling their vote freely more than once because we continue busing people into polling locations from polling location, and the same people are voting. Okay, you do all of this, and it's nothing but a money game to make sure that they stay in power. So, of course, they don't want voter ID because they can't manipulate the results. It's a very interesting paradox. We're going to take a quick break, come back, because, Dale, I really want to get into Mitch McConnell because I know, oh, my God, I know you're going to love this. But McConnell says he don't want to be overly cocky, but he guarantees he's going to be the Republican nominee next year.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that very, very interesting statement. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. Folks, we'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Spreaker Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Yeah, we are back. Here you guys thought that was going to be one of the long breaks. No, it's not. And by the way, folks, make sure when you call Ernie's Print Shop, you ask for a guy by the name of Michael Lewis.
Big Mike.
Big Mike. Very good guy. Michael runs Independent Kentucky. Michael does a great job. He has to be employed with Ernie's Print Shop as well. He does a great job over there. And check him out. He can make some really good deals on your business cards, your banners, and everything else. You know, getting back into the meat and potatoes here,
yep.
You know, we're talking about all the election process, the Democrat, liberals, and everything else. But let's not think, you kid ourselves for a minute, that this is just one way. The Uniparty is alive and well, folks. And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell made a statement where he said that he doesn't want to be overly cocky, but he will be the Republican nominee next year. And what's fascinating for me on that statement, Dale, is this. He made that statement sitting down with Peggy Noonan during a Wall Street Journal interview. During that interview, he was basically trashing the Tea Party. Tea Party, he's been courting the Tea Party for about 2 years. He's getting all kinds of help, illegal or legal, depending on your point of view, from the local party officials. And by the way, I did speak with Nathan Haney about that situation. He is very upset about it. Apparently, there's somebody else that rents a space in the office that they were using their phones, and that's why I was showing up to the JCRP, and they were using illegally saying they were with the JCRP, calling on behalf of
the JCRP. Yeah, it wasn't just saying JCRP. They were telling people on the phone, including me, that they were with the JCRP.
Well, Nathan tells me.
I just said it on their phone. They were saying that, but go ahead. I want to hear what Nathan said.
I spoke with Nathan late last week about that. He said he had already received a couple of calls. He was very angry about it, very upset, from what he tells me. And to be quite honest with you, I believe him. But he said he talked to those people over the weekend. I just got an email from him. He got with them over the weekend, and he has now put his people in place that the people that rent out some space from them are allowed to use the building, but they're not allowed to use their phones and misrepresent themselves as calling on behalf of the JCRP. So what he has done is he installed his people. He's got one person there every day when this other party shows up, and now they're making their phone calls from their personal cell phone, and they are not alluding to being a member of the JCRP at all. His people are verifying that, so if anybody gets any more phone calls like that, let us know, and we will beat the hell out of it. But anyway, back to the topic. Mitch McConnell has been, for at least the last 2 years, trying to tout the Tea Party and gain a Tea Party supporters. And what's interesting about that is he's also had Rand Paul. He has formed an alliance with Rand Paul on some issues, and Rand Paul has even went publicly and endorsed Mitch McConnell early in this race, in his primary race for the U.S. Senate. But it's funny because he goes on with this Wall Street Journal interview with Peggy Noonan, and says the Tea Party consists of people who are angry and upset at government. And he agrees with them, but he thinks many of them have been misled, that they're being told that the reason they're not getting better outcomes is because the Republicans aren't feisty enough. And then he goes on to say that that's not true, that the folks that are actually being portraying themselves as the leaders of these groups are the ones who are doing the misleading. The so-called leaders of the Tea Party who are out there making these statements are going out and raising money so that they can get their cut, and then they spend it on whatever they want to, and what they're spending it on is issues that hurt Republicans. Now, I'm not saying that that's a way to tell the Tea Party that they're screwed up, but here you've got a candidate, Matt Bevin, who is being proclaimed the Tea Party candidate. Now, we both know the Tea Party people are very firm in their beliefs, that typically it's an all-or-nothing mentality, and they're very vindictive against those who oppose them. So here you've got Mitch McConnell saying that the Tea Party leaders are out there raising money just so they can get money. They're taking their own cut and screwing the Republicans. And you've got a Tea Party candidate, Matt Bevin. But he's cocky enough to say, he's cocky enough, and I have to use that word because he says he's not, but to me it's a cocky statement to say that you're going to be the Republican nominee next year. Discuss.
Well, Mitch McConnell proved in the budget surpass, the fake cut down, that what he ended up being was not an elected official, not a minority quote-unquote leader, but Harry Reid's very expensive whore. Because he proved that for the right amount of money for a pet project, he would be Harry Reid's whore and go to bed with him and perform all kinds of tricks on him. Metaphorically speaking, of course. And you know, McConnell, just to go back to what you said about the Jefferson County Republican Party, I don't know at what point this new chairman, this new ambulance-chasing lawyer that runs the party now, I don't know what day he took over, but I'm sorry, I don't buy that he didn't really know this was going on, because unless all this happened before he took over, when they had the state fair booth, they didn't let Matt Bevin have stuff in the booth, but there was plenty of McConnell stuff. When they go out to county festivals and fairs like Sun Valley, they didn't let Bevin have anything in the booth. It was all McConnell stuff. So that wasn't an accident, number one. I'd love to see how he explains that. But Mitch McConnell's mad because if he ever courted the Tea Party, the only thing he courted them to do was to shut up, be happy, and reelect him because he's never done anything for them.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I raised the question last night with Ed Martin. And, you know, I really want your take on this because here's the deal. He's going to have Tea Party support if he wins this primary.
Yep.
He's going to have Tea Party support next November, and here's why. Because Mitch McConnell never has blown anybody out in a challenged election.
Nope.
He always gets a barely majority, 2-3 points. I think four points at one point with one of his highest wins. Because Mitch has no problem. You know, it's his way of doing business, but he has no problem going to the gutter, throwing things out there, seeing what sticks, and fighting like dogs to win the election. So, you know, that's his way of doing business. We've come to accept that. We know that's going to be the reality in any race you're in. But we know that right now the Democrats smell blood. They smell fear. They smell an opportunity to take Mitch McConnell out. So, you know, we haven't seen a lot of money given to Allison Lundigan Grimes yet, but we're still in the early stages of the primary. And remember, those people who give to Allison Lundigan Grimes right now in the primary, since she's not contested, can only give one time. So you don't want to put all your money up front and let him know what he's facing for. So Allison Lundigan Grimes, I believe, will be heavily funded once the primary election is over. We know that the Democrats are going to come out. They're going to lie, cheat, and steal. They'll vote four or five times if they have to. We've got definite proof of that everywhere. That's the way they do business. So the Democratic voter turnout is going to be heavy. But we also know traditionally the conservatives, the Republicans, they really don't fluctuate that much. You don't have a heavy Republican turnout versus a lower Republican turnout. The same people that vote in every election for Republicans are the same people that's going to continue to vote in every election. You don't really have a big fluctuation in those numbers. So
no, you know, when Mitch McConnell gets up there and does his little interview with Peggy Noonan and says, I'm going to be the Republican nominee, I think maybe someone should give Mitch McConn, that's going to be my name for him for the next year, McConn, because that's what he is, he's the big McConn. I think Senator McConn needs a refresher on recent history. and that is McCann was confident in 2010 that his pal Charles Merwin Grayson III would win, but Grayson got his ass handed to him in the primary by 23%, then he quit his job and ran off to New England to raise money for Democrats. The next year, Senator McCann was confident that his pals David Blackjack Williams and Little Richie Farmer would win, but they got their asses kicked by 21%. Williams quit his job and was appointed a judge by the same Democrat who beat him, and Farmer went to prison. And then finally, last year, Senator McCann was confident that his buddy Dick Lugar would win, and Lugar lost his primary by 21%. So that's Senator McCann's recent history.
And what that tells me, though, why did Trey Grayson lose by 23%?
Because he had no substance. People came out.
Forget the substance. How did the voters vote 23% more against him? That was the Tea Party vote.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Tea Party is what
they
Harry Grant fought past Trey Grayson.
The only thing I would disagree with what you said tonight is when you said that they're a vindictive bunch. I don't think they're vindictive. I just think they want people to go by the Constitution, not cheat, lie, and steal like both parties do.
Well, I just don't see a lot of compromise when it comes to people in the Tea Party or the Constitutionalists. And I don't say you should compromise on the Constitution. Never compromise on the Constitution. But I do think that in a lot of ways we take things a bit too far. A lot of Tea Partiers, in my experience, people that I know that identify as being Tea Party, typically, if they don't agree with you for whatever reason, rather than try to understand why this particular position was taken, if we don't agree with you and there's nothing you can say to change our minds. That's a closed-minded approach. And that's why I say vindictive, and maybe that's the wrong word. But, you know, but to get back to it, though, when we look at Trey Grayson, he lost to Rand Paul because 23% more people voted for Rand Paul, and they were primarily Tea Partiers. When you get into the general election, when Rand Paul versus Jack Conway, you know, the whole Aqua Buddhist crap, you know, Jack Conway, the same guy who was involved in an illegal cover-up involving his brother Matt. But when you look at this, Rand Paul wiped the floor with Jack Conway. And he wiped the floor with Jack Conway because we knew there was going to be the Democratic turnout for Jack Conway. But the Tea Party turned out for Rand Paul, which made it an easy win over Jack Conway. So what I'm getting at here, though, is, you know, assuming, and I think that's an assumption at this point, because Mitch McConnell, I think, is digging himself a hole, and I don't think he really understands how bad it's going to hurt him if he keeps it up. But assuming Mitch McConnell wins the primary and goes on to face Alison Lundergan Grimes, I don't think at this point he can count on any Tea Party votes. And if that's the case on a heads-up race, traditional Republican voters versus a heavy Democrat turnout, he loses to Alison Lundergan Grimes.
Oh, I agree. We lose in Kentucky. Yeah, I agree he loses because that's how worried he is, and he doesn't like the fact he's having to throw the money at a primary opponent. But I will say this, if the Tea Party was the reason that Grayson lost with 23%, and someone like Dick Lugar in Indiana lost his primary by 21%, then the Tea Party has a lot bigger numbers than we are given credit for. I think the reality is the reason they lost their election by that kind of numbers is because a lot of people saw nothing to get excited about from the Republican nominee, especially when it came to the David Williams race in 2012 or 11, where that was a general election. That showed you a lot of people just stayed home because the elite gave them nothing to vote for.
Well, it's a possibility. I can't argue with that logic.
Well, we know it. The voter turnout's about the lowest it's been in centuries in this state.
I totally agree. Again, I can't agree with you. But that's realistic what we've got. The problem we've got, Mitch McConnell, I still think Mitch McConnell is going to win the primary. I know he's cocky about it, but I think Matt Bevin is underfunded, but he's not getting a fair shake from the media or any other place for that matter. You know, without getting a fair shake, you have to spend whatever money you can get getting equal recognition and getting an equal voice out to the voters. Now, one of the problems that Bevin has that he's doing right now is he's spending a lot of money on silly commercials at like Clear Channel and WHAS. And don't be wrong, folks, right? But spend money when you do this TV advertising, you go to people like that on advertising, you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars trying to reach people that either are channel hopping, not going to watch your TV message, or they're radio hopping because they're not going to listen to it on the radio either. In most cases, those people aren't even the voters. He should be usually getting smarter. One thing that made the polls successful was being able to get to the grassroots campaigns and spending their money and online outlets like ours, for example. And that's where Matt Bevin needs to do. He needs to get crafty with what money he is spending, because he's going to be outspent. He needs to spend that money getting to the voter, not the possibility that somebody is a voter. There's a big difference. But Matt Bevin is going to have to overcome a lot. The thing that I have the biggest problem with is that Matt Bevin is not getting fair and equal treatment. You know, and for me, the end game is to make sure that Alison Lundgren Grimes does not get elected next November. And I know that sounds like Mitch McConnell describing Barack Obama, but in my opinion, Alison Lundgren Grimes will be bad for Kentucky. She's anti-coal. She's pro-Obamacare. All the things that are going to destroy Kentucky, she is for. And that concerns me a great deal. So I do not want her elected in Kentucky. And I think that we need to spend our time understanding that and looking at the big picture. You know, but is Matt Bevin the guy that can beat her at the end of the day?
Well, I think if you have an open seat, we know he's going to be outfunded greatly by McConnell. That's the big elephant in the room. Everybody knows that's the fact, that he's going to be outfunded by McConnell about whatever it is, 100 or 200 to 1. I think the reason he takes our ads on places like Clear Channel is because a lot of quote-unquote conservatives listen to talk radio all day long, and some of them either A, don't realize that McConnell's up for re-election because he's been in there for 30 damn years, or B, don't realize someone had the balls to run against him and is putting their own money into the race. So I think he's trying to get their attention early on. You are correct. He needs to be very frugal with the money, but I'd much rather see a race between Bevin and Lundgren Grimes in November than McConnell and Lundgren Grimes, because I think then you get what I just described in 2011 with Pat Pappalashier and Black Jack Williams, where a lot of people just say, screw it, neither of them is worth a damn.
Can't argue with you there, because I tell you, you know, it was really fascinating when you look at the David Williams turnout. That was meant to be a nightmare from the very beginning. David Williams had no business running for governor, especially with a nut job like Richie Farmer as his running mate. And quite honestly, I think that the deal was made even before Election Day between him and Steve Beshear to get that judge appointment. I really do. I think that was already set in motion, that David Williams was going to leave the Senate one way or another. And that was the carrot to make sure that he was gone from Senate leadership. You know, at the end of the day right now, though, I'm very concerned about this race for Senate, because I don't think that we need more liberal Democrats in the Senate. I know Mitch McConnell has made some bad choices, you know, and I'm not sitting here recommending Mitch McConnell. All I'm saying is that whoever wins this primary, whether it's Mitch McConnell or Matt Bevin, needs some serious help next November. But Matt Bevin deserves a fair primary election race. He deserves equal media treatment, regardless of whether you like him or you like Mitch McConnell. It's all about that race and fairness and equality. And Matt Bevin is getting screwed in that regard. And that much I'll always agree with. And as somebody who's had to fight those powers running for office in the past, I find it a farce to the election process itself. As usual, Dale, the fastest hour on radio has fast come to a conclusion. Final thoughts, my friend.
Well, final thoughts is I take each individual race one by one, and I don't get caught up, because I don't look at it like a horse race. We know that the parties that be, they do think it's a team sport mentality, and they don't want anybody else on their field. If you looked at this like a basketball game, which is popular in this state, and you had one team with a big blue D on their chest and another team with a big red R on their chest, and they went back and forth, and all of a sudden another team came onto the playing court, they'd be hauled out of there. Security would take them out. And that's kind of the way the parties handle you when you try to crash their parties in conventions, because they want to tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, and by the way, how much money to do it with. So I focus on individual races, because the fact is that if we're going to make it like a sporting event, it should be like a horse race and have lots of horses in the race, instead of just one party being Tweedledee and one party being Tweedledum, one party being the dumb party and one party being the evil party. And I'll let you all decide which is which, because in the end, you got to stand up to both of them to say death to the New World Order.
You're absolutely right. The Unit Party is alive and well. And what we see more and more every day, you know, especially when we look at this primary race, for example, Matt Bevin being outspent 100, 200 to 1, is we see money being the election. That's where we, as an electorate and as citizens of this country, have dropped the ball. When we allow elections to be bought instead of earned, we get what we deserve. We see that every day. It doesn't matter which side of the equation you're on in a two-party system, because both sides screw you every way that they can. They keep us divided on social issues. Then they can talk about Obamacare. They can shut down the government, even though there was no government shutdown. It was portrayed that way. And you can have the liberals get control. Then Obamacare becomes a farce. Everybody gets freaked out. Then the liberals are bad. It's always the same thing. It's the mood of the moment. But the reality is that we're not going to get the truth from anybody because we don't demand it. So it's time to get involved in the elective process, time to get real finance reform. It's time to get real accountability at the voting booth, at the poll locations. It's time to quit allowing dead people to decide your elections. You know, the bottom line is it's time to quit. It's time to quit doing business as usual. One statement that I've made frequently throughout my life, and I tell everybody, is this. People will only give you what you're willing to accept. That's human nature. It doesn't matter who that person is. They're going to give you what you're willing to accept. If you're in an abusive relationship and you're getting beaten, battered every day and you stay there, you are portraying to the individual who is abusing you that you're willing to accept that behavior. We're being abused every day by our two-party system and our election process. We are being beat and battered daily. We're telling them that that's acceptable and it's okay because we're not doing anything to change it. Get involved. Get inspired. Make a difference. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, Dale, anything special?
Well, I think we're going to get into a little bit of reminding people that evil government being bigger and evil government being slightly less big is not the opposite of each other. We're going to talk about things like, you always hear, oh, there's a new county clerk's office in Jefferson County. Isn't that wonderful? Why do we celebrate when there's more government buildings? Do we really need to have a registration for a car? Why do you have to pay the government for the right to drive when it's supposed to be a right, and I don't believe it's a privilege? And why do we need things like parking meters and things like seatbelt laws? So I guess we're going to have to talk to people who think that they're conservative and think they're for less government and talk about what it really means to be for less government.
Sounds like a great conversation. It's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here on the MVM Radio Network, folks. The TNT with Thursday Night Truth Show with Dale of the Truth Gillespie. And for the rest of you guys, we appreciate it. I will see you on Monday. Don't forget our good friend Sunday night at 7 o'clock, Ken Molman, with his Liberty Unbridled show. In the meantime, have a great week. Get inspired. Get involved. We'll talk to you later. Take care.